You take your Bibles this evening and open to Luke chapter 2, if you would, Luke chapter 2, and we'll get to that text here in a little while, but we'll do some things before we get there. In each of the last 2 years, I think I mentioned this on Sunday, we spent three of our Wednesday evenings, for those of you who have customarily been here on Wednesdays, in December, looking at the message of some of our well-beloved Christmas hymns, carols we often call them. And I had entitled that short series, Singing the Message of Christmas. And a number of folks have expressed to me that they really enjoyed learning from those familiar songs. So I trust that that's the Lord's direction for us then, that we'll just continue in that vein here for three Wednesday nights again this year. So the carols we've looked at already, the first year we looked at Joy to the World and Hark the Herald Angels Sing, O Come, Emmanuel. Then last year we looked at O Little Town of Bethlehem, As with gladness, men of old, God rest you merry, gentlemen. And tonight the carol that I want us to give our attention to is the First Noel. Okay, so that'll be the title of the message. Not very creative, but works for what we are doing. And let's begin with prayer this evening. Father, we are grateful that just year by year, as we come to this season, that we give some special attention to celebrating the birth of the Lord Jesus, His incarnation, His coming to this earth and taking human form, His birth in humble beginnings. And Lord, we know that He came not just as other men, but indeed the God-man. And He came for the purpose of giving His life to redeem us, that we might have life. So it's a joyous thing for us to remember. I pray that as our culture is so caught up in the commercialism of this season and the materialism of it, we as your people would be drawn to the true message, the reason that we celebrate, the one person that our attention really ought be on, the Lord Jesus. So we pray, Father, as we look at some of these hymns that we sing here as a church, that played on radios, that are sung by caroling groups, whether they be believers or not, Father, might we reflect on the message, and might it stir our hearts and encourage us and draw our attention to you. And so we commit the time that we'll spend tonight. Father, use this in a beneficial way in our lives, that we might rejoice all the more in the birth of our Savior. In His name I pray. Amen. Let me just start again tonight with some introductory thoughts that I shared at the beginning of this series. And of course, the idea of preaching about some of our favorite Christmas songs is not original with me. It's not unique. It's something that's done pretty commonly. And another preacher who did so some years back used this expression as something of a subtitle to his series. He said, "You end up believing what you spend time singing." And there's a lot of truth to that. You know, when words are coupled with melody, we remember better. People tend to remember the words of songs better than they remember other things. You know, it just kind of resonates. I mean, I can remember back to eighth grade English, and our teacher was Mr. Furin. And one of the things that he had us do in eighth grade English was memorize certain poems. I don't know how many, maybe 8 or 10 different poems. And every Friday for a period of time, we had to write those poems. And he was merciless in the grading of them. You know, he had to have them perfectly. And so what for most of them I did was I put them to hymn tunes. You know, I found a hymn tune that would work. Okay? And to this day, okay, you want, you know, Oliver Wendell Holmes' Old Ironsides, you know, you know, I tear her tattered and signed down, long has it waved on high, and many an eye has danced to see that banner in the sky, her deck once red with heroes' blood, and I can sing all the stanzas, just like yesterday. That's 44 years ago, okay? But there's something about the connection of music to those words that makes things memorable. You know, and those of you who work in children's ministries, right, we have songs that help us learn the books of the Bible, that help us learn certain Bible truths. When I was a kid, there was Sesame Street, the whole foundation of the thing was putting silly little sing-songy stuff to grammar and things like that, because there is a reality about the way that God has made us. That when you connect music with the words, it makes those things more memorable. And you know, you think about what the Lord says, for example, in Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And you know, and there again, there's something to that. There's something about the connection with music and truth and the way it just cements it in our souls. And that's why we put a premium on wanting to have music here in the church that honors God and that is doctrinally sound and that is good teaching and that is good music, because it has that ability to just kind of cement those things in our minds. And if we continually expose ourselves to biblically sound music, we do, in a sense, end up believing what we keep on seeing. And so that's where Christmas carols are a beautiful way for us to learn or reinforce or be reminded of truths that we know to be so. And that's why, you know, guys like Charles Wesley, that, you know, most of you have figured out he's probably my favorite songwriter. I like Isaac Watts too, but you know, they have doctrinally substantive words. And now you're putting those in your mind with that music and just cementing those truths. So tonight we're going to look at a hymn that most of us have sung all our lives, called The First Noel. And the First Noel is an old hymn of unknown origin. And by that I mean we don't know who wrote it. You know, in our hymnal, if you look at the spot where normally the author's name appears, you'll find Old English Carol. Or in some hymnals it'll say Traditional English Carol. Now our hymnal ascribes the music to Sandy's Christmas Carols, which is where it was first published, but some music historians suggest that the traditional melody originated in France as early as the 1200s. You know, going back that far is difficult to establish for sure, but what is generally agreed upon is that by the early 1800s, the melody that we sing, you know, the First Noel to, okay, as well as at least a good portion of the words, those things were already commonly sung by people. And in fact, it was not necessarily a church hymn, though it probably was sung in churches, but people would sing it at public gatherings, outdoors. I mean, really it was back, you know, going back a couple hundred or more years, a true Christmas carol, as we tend to think about carolers, and just singing in kind of an informal group, gathering the songs of Christmas. Now, I mentioned Sandy's Christmas Carols. The song, The First Noel, was first published in a book titled Carols Ancient and Modern. That was published in 1823, and then again in Gilbert and Sandy's Carols in 1833. And both of those songbooks were edited by an Englishman named William Sandys, S-A-N-D-Y-S, for those of you who are into music history. And apparently Sandys and Gilbert reworked some of the words to make them maybe flow better, maybe added some stanzas. But what they published in terms of both the lyrics and the music is what was in large measure already being sung regularly in community gatherings at the time, and it's essentially the same as what we sing today. You know, so here's a song that really is one of the oldest Christmas songs in the English language. It's been in publication for about 200 years and was sung informally for perhaps another 100 years before that, okay? So it's a hymn that's been sung a lot of times for a lot of years. Now let me ask you, how many times do you think you have sung The First Noel? Would I be exaggerating to say more than 100 times? Probably not, right? For many of us, probably a lot more than 100 times. Okay, so here's my question for you, right? We sing this, you know, The First Noel, the angels did say. So let me ask you, what's a Noel? And you sing it all the time. We've just said, okay, somebody says good news. No other takers? Come on, Noel singers. The First Noel. What's a Noel, right? We sing that we're supposed to understand what we sing. You know, we're supposed to know what it means. So when we sing The First Noel, what are we saying? Because other than maybe somebody's first name or whatever, you know, singing this song is probably one of the, and hanging up a sign on the outside of your house or whatever it might be, Noel is probably not a common word that we use a lot, but we do sing it in this song, The First Noel. And you say, okay, Pastor, tell us what it means. Well, I'm not going to be able to give you a definitive answer. Fact is, I've read all kinds of articles and different historical things over the past week expressing various ideas and opinions, and I've come to the conclusion that the exact origin and meaning of the word Noel seems a little bit lost in antiquity. Here are some possibilities, okay? Who people who are much smarter in linguistics and etymology and grammar and lexicography than me say. Some scholars claim that the word Noel comes from the Middle English word Noel, N-O-W-E-L, which Webster's 1828 dictionary, so that puts it back in the days when Sandys first published this, defines as a shout of joy, okay? In particular, a shout of joy at the birth of Christ. But the Middle English Noel is similar to the French Noel, which means, okay, English N-O-W-E-L, French Noel, N-O-E-L, which means Christmas or Christmas season. And in fact, and I'll try to say this right, but you know, I am not a French speaker, okay? But in fact, the modern French, Joyeux Noël, am I close? Okay. So that's the modern French, Merry Christmas, okay? The joy part, and Noël has the idea of Christmas. The modern French Noël is thought to come from the old French Nael, N-A-E-L, and that in turn is derived from the Latin Natalis, N-A-T-A-L-I-S, which means birth. Since Christmas is the celebration of the birth of Christ, it was natural for people to refer to the celebration as the Nativity, as the birth, as the Nael, as the Noel. So the thinking goes. Then there's another Latin word that some claim is the real grandfather of our modern Noel, and that's the Latin novella, which doesn't mean a short novel, okay? But it means news, conveying the idea that the good news of the birth of Christ caused the shouts of joy associated with Christmas. So if we put all those together, okay, we're talking about a shout of joy, Christmas, birth, news, right? So there's words from history that perhaps are what brought about the word Noel, a shout of joy, Christmas, birth, news. So if I put all those together, you get this, okay? And Noel is a shout of joy at Christmas time in light of the good news of the birth of Christ. That's why I'm not a hymn writer, because it's so much cleaner to say the first Noel, right? Rather than the first shout of joy at Christmas time in light of the good news of the birth of Christ. But there's kind of the ideas that are all tied into the history of the word Noel. But I'm not done yet, okay? I have one more possibility. And this one to me seems the most far-fetched, but it's really intriguing to me, so I'll share it with you, okay? If you look up the first Noel in Wikipedia or some other, you know, encyclopedic source of knowledge, you'll typically find that they give you alternate spellings. They'll say, well, it could be, you know, just our N-O-E-L. It could be N-O-E with an umlaut, or I guess technically a diaresis above it, N-O-E-L. You know, but that's rooted in the French spelling. But they suggest that the English spelling, the old English spelling, is actually N-O-W-E-L-L. Okay, and there's pretty decent agreement that that's probably the correct English spelling of the word Noel, N-O-W-E-L-L, rather than the French N-O-E-L. And you say, why do I belabor that? Well, some scholars who see Noel, they don't view it so much as a derivation from the French and Latin words for Christmas and birth and news, as we've discussed. They suggest that Noel, N-O-W-E-L-L, is an example of the English penchant for abbreviation. Okay, so I'll give you examples. Okay, we've heard the word bedlam, right? Where that comes from is back in the 1200s, there was a hospital called St. Mary's of Bethlehem. And a couple hundred years later, it became a place where they kept people who struggled with mental illnesses or whatever. And of course, back in those days, the way that places like that were handled was not good. And they were known for chaos and confusion and pandemonium. And the people in the surrounding countryside started to refer to St. Mary's of Bedlam in kind of an abbreviated fashion as St. Mary's of Bethlehem as Bedlam. And today, if you look up Bedlam in a dictionary, It'll tell you, it'll say, you know, pandemonium, chaos, confusion, and then after that it'll say archaic, an institution for the care of the mentally ill, because that's where it came from, okay? How about, we use this word all the time, at least most of us do, goodbye. Do you know where goodbye does come from? It's actually an abbreviation of a longer, a little bit more noble and distinguished reference, which is God be with you. You know, that used to be, if you go back a ways, the way people would say to each other as they would part company, God be with you. And we sing, God be with you till we meet again, right? And over time, because English speakers like to shorten things up, I guess, or whether it's due to carelessness, whether it's the idea of contraction, whatever, but it evolved into goodbye. Farewell. If you read Shakespeare, you'll find the expression is almost always fare thee well. Right? Fare thee well. And now we say farewell. And so people say that, you know, in the English language, there's a lot of this case of taking these expressions, these phrases, and shortening them down to a single word, let's say. And they suggest, and you know, they have their reasons, agree, disagree, but they suggest that Noel is a contracted form of now all is well. I like that. I'm not sure that I agree with their scholarship, but you know, who am I to question them? But I like that. I like that idea, because certainly with the coming of Christ, now all is indeed well. And so, if you put all that together, what's a Noel? Well, it's a shout of joy at Christmas time, celebrating the good news of the birth of Christ, through whom indeed now all is well. Okay, so we take a little bit of all of those ideas, but that's what we're singing about. And that first shout, that first announcement, that first proclamation of good news, the first Noel, was given by the angels to certain shepherds in fields as they lay. That's what we sing. Okay, so now, a long time ago, I asked you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. So let's turn our attention there for a few minutes. We're going to spend our remaining time here on this very familiar passage. And it's one that connects easily with the text of our hymn, not with every nuance of it, but with some of it. And so let me just read the first 20 verses here in Luke chapter 2. A passage that we will in various settings, church, family, home, whatever, read probably dozens of times over the next few weeks. Luke 2 says, "It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them." Let me make just a few simple observations from this passage as it relates to our hymn. And here's the first is, the message of Christmas is good news. Okay, verse 10 says, "The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." But he tells them, fear not. This isn't a fearful message. It's a joyous one. And he says, I will bring you good tidings. And good tidings is the Greek word from which we get our term evangelical from, or evangelize, euangelion. That's what translates here into good tidings, good news. And it's good news of great joy, of mega, if you will, joy. And so if we have that idea of Noel, coming from the word novella, that means news, that means good news, certainly that's what we have here. You know, the angels themselves declared, this is good tidings, this is good news of great joy. So the message of Christmas is good news. The message of Christmas is about the birth of a king and a savior and a Messiah and Lord. Okay, our text again says, the angel said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. One of the things that has always struck me about the various accounts about the birth of Christ and the background to that is the many and varied ways that Christ is identified as who he is. I mean, he is Emmanuel, God with us. His name is Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. His name means Jehovah is salvation. Here we have him identified as being born in the city of David, right? And that's drawing attention that he is from the Davidic line, from the kingly line. He is being born a king. The Magi come, they worship him as if he is a king, because indeed he is. And he's declared to be a savior, a deliverer. He is Christ. He is the anointed one, the promised Messiah. He is the Lord. He's the supreme one, a title often used in reference to God. And so we're declared here that the message of Christmas is about the birth of a king, a savior, a Messiah and Lord. Remember I told you that one of the meanings of Noel could be stemming from the word natalis, which means birth, the virgin birth in which the Son of God came in human flesh. One of the things that we talk about it at Christmas time, I mean, obviously Jesus was physically born, a natural birth to his mother, and yet it was a divine conception of the Holy Spirit. But we also refer to his birth as the incarnation. And an incarnation just comes from a Latin word, and the idea is enfleshment, right? Jesus coming as God himself and taking on him human flesh in the form of that little baby in those humble beginnings. And so even though born a baby, yet he's a king. He's a savior. He's the Son of God. He's the Messiah. He is our Lord. The message of Christmas teaches us all that. And the message of Christmas, thirdly, is for everyone. It's a message for certain poor shepherds is what the song says, right? The first Noel, the angels did say, was to certain poor shepherds in fields where they were just tending to their flocks. In verse 8, in our text says, they were in the same country, in those rolling hills around Bethlehem, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. You know, folks, it's interesting that in the providence of God, he saw fit to announce the message of Christ's birth first to these humble men. That's why this is the first Noel, was to those shepherds. So it's a message for shepherds. It's a message for wise men. You know, the word is magi. Likely they were Babylonian astronomers and astrologers. They studied the heavens, but they looked to them for more significance than just the physics and the geometry of things. And they saw in that star a sign that in fact God had intended of the birth of the Jewish Messiah. And, you know, I've often thought that how did they even know to look for that? How did they even know to think along those lines? Well, I think that's a testimony to the ministry of people like Daniel there in Babylon, that, you know, they knew their scriptures and had shared that around, and that those ideas still persisted, such that these wise men from the east saw that star and recognized in some sense that astronomers as well as astrologers, as something connected maybe with Israel and all wrapped up in that. But here's a message for the humble, for the educated, a message for the great, a message for the small. And it's a message for all of us, for you and for me. Verses 10 and 11, the angel says, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day. The message of Christmas is good news. It's about the birth of a king, a savior, a Messiah, and Lord. The message of Christmas is for everyone. And then fourthly, the message of Christmas is something that should inspire our praise. Verse 13, he says, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it should be something that we want to praise and we want to share with others. Verse 16 says that when the shepherds, they came with haste, and they found Mary, and they found Joseph, and they found the baby lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things. So this was not a message that everybody said, oh, that makes perfect sense to me, right? They wondered. They thought, are these shepherds crazy? What are they saying? How do they know this? And the shepherds would just tell them, listen, this is what the angels sung about. Here is what the angel announced to us. This is what we saw in that manger. We saw the baby Jesus. We are convinced by God of who he is. And they told that message. And they praised God. And they spread it abroad for others to hear. Verse 20 says, the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Folks, as we consider the message of Christmas, you know, that's something that ought to inspire our praise. And some of you who are devout Cubs fans, you may be excited about these recent trades. Well, fine, be excited about that. But how much more should we be excited about the coming of Christ? You know, Bears, I guess, don't give you much to be excited about, you know. But, you know, in any event, I'm not really a Bears fan. I try to be, you know. I try to have solidarity. You know, this is where I live now. But, you know, there are things that get us excited. Why does not the birth of Christ get us excited? You know, why does it not stir our souls such that we want to just noise that abroad, such that we just want to be telling people about it? You know, and it's a great time. I mean, you can be walking in a store, and there's all kinds of decorations, and some of them are actually quite religious in their orientation. And, you know, it's really comparatively easy to strike up a conversation with somebody about Christmas. And what are you doing for Christmas? You know, do you go to church on Christmas? Do you celebrate the birth of Christ, or do you just do presents? You know, but those conversations are, in many respects, easier to be had. People are more likely to engage you at a time like this, maybe, than other times of the year. Why aren't we excited about it? And why aren't we praising God about it? Why aren't we being like those shepherds, you know, who return glorifying and praising God and making known abroad the things that they had seen, the things that they had learned? And that's what the last stanza of the first Noel, at least the last one that's in our hymnal, says to us. It says, then let us all with one accord sing praises to our heavenly Lord, who hath made heaven and earth of naught, and with his blood mankind hath bought. As we conclude, let me have you just turn in your hymnal to hymn 114, the first Noel. Now, I'm a details person, so my sense of precision necessitates that I admit that there are some liberties that are taken in this hymn that maybe are, you know, I'll just mention them, okay? This is my disclaimer, right? It talks about the shepherds looking up and seeing the star. It may well be that they did, but, you know, Luke 2 doesn't tell us that. But, you know, okay, maybe they did. And it gives us the number of the wise men as three wise men. We know there were three gifts, at least that are articulated for us. Maybe there were three wise men. And I'm willing to grant that. In fact, if you come to our children's Christmas program on Sunday morning, you'll see that there must have been three wise men, because that's probably how many that we will have here, okay? But the point is, here is a hymn that has been sung for centuries for the purpose of drawing attention to the fact that there were angels that came and they made a grand and glorious announcement to these shepherds about the birth of a Savior, and indeed now all is well. And that's what we sing about. And that's what we ought to be able to rejoice about. So it says, the first Noel the angels did say was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they lay a-keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep. In other words, and also, we don't know exactly what the weather was like that night, okay? But okay, hey, I get the idea. These shepherds came and they wanted to see, right? Let's take that away. They looked up and saw a star shining in the east beyond them far, and to the earth it gave great light, and so it continued both day and night. And by the light of that same star, three wise men came from country far to seek for a king was their intent, and to follow the star wherever it went. And there's certainly some good exhortation there for us to have that sense of purpose and following, to really come to find Christ and share that truth with others. The star drew nigh to the northwest, or Bethlehem. It took its rest, and there it did both stop and stay right over the place where Jesus lay. Then entered in those wise men three, fell reverently upon their knee, and offered there in his presence their gold and myrrh and frankincense. then that last stanza that I already read, then let us all with one accord sing praises to our heavenly Lord that hath made heaven and earth of naught, and with his blood mankind hath bought. Now there's the purpose why Jesus came, to go to the cross, to shed his blood. Jesus said, I am come to seek and to save that which is lost. He said, I am come to give my life a ransom for many. That was his purpose in coming. That was the purpose of the Father in sending him. And that's what we ought to be singing about and rejoicing in. Folks, you do end up believing what you spend time singing. And I hope that each time you sing or you hear the first Noel, you know, time number 152 and 153, whatever it might be, but it will be a reminder to us that indeed now all is well. Because there has been one born who is a king and a savior and a messiah and Lord. And he came to shed his blood and give his life so that we could have life. And so that all those around us could have life. And we ought to be like those shepherds, sharing that news with them. Well, Jeff, why don't we go ahead and sing the message of Christmas a little bit. And maybe just sing a stanza or two here of the first Noel.